Well, as has been said, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, a day that is set aside each year, not only by Grace Church, but the church around the world, to both remember and to celebrate the sanctity of human life. Now, throughout the years, I have preached on the sanctity of human life many times, but not every year. But this year, being the 40th anniversary of the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision that has had such a devastating impact on the sanctity of human life, it seemed especially appropriate to address this theme today. I'd like to address why human life is sacred. In other words, is there a case that we can make for the sanctity of human life? And the short answer to that question is yes, there is a case, and there's a very good case. In fact, biblical Christianity has made that case for a very long time. But when I think about this question in the modern world, I'm baffled that those who reject the God of the Bible and those who reject biblical Christianity can make a case for it at all. They try, but I don't really see how they can consistently make this case. Now, there are many issues like this in the modern world. People hold a position, a strong position, maybe even tenaciously hold to their position. But if they're pressed to explain it or asked why they hold it or asked on what basis they have this belief, they're at a loss or their case is very weak or shallow. Now, a good place to start is the actual meaning of the sanctity of human life. What do we mean when we say that there is sanctity of human life? Well, to declare the sanctity of human life is to declare that human life is sacred. If something possesses sanctity, then it means that it's to be held sacred. Sacred is defined as entitled to veneration or religious respect by association with deity or divinity or divine things, holy, regarded with reverence, revered. The root idea of sacred is that something is set aside or set apart because it's special. It has a special place, or it has a special use, or in some cases, both. So when something is sacred, it occupies a place where other things don't occupy because they are not sacred. Now, everything can't be sacred. You understand that everything can't be sacred, or else it contradicts the concept and the meaning of sacred. For example, each year we have certain days that are special days. They're set apart from the other days, and we call these holidays. Now, we used to call them holy days. Now, why do we call them holy days? Simply because they were days that were set apart from the other days that were not holy. So obviously, if every day was holy, then no day would be holy because they would all be identical. So if you're going to make a case that human life is sacred, that it's special, that it's unique, that human life is endowed with sanctity, then what would be your case? What case would you make? Where would you go to make that case? And this is where I start to really get annoyed with the world system, because the world always wants it both ways. They want to have their cake, and they want to eat their cake too. So if you were to ask someone who has a non-Christian worldview, a person who rejects the God of the Bible and who rejects biblical Christianity, if you were to ask them whether they believe that human life is sacred, whether they believe in the sanctity of human life, they might say yes, they do. But brace yourself because it gets very murky after that. They might say, yeah, I believe in the sanctity of human life. I believe that all life is sacred. I believe that every living thing has a special place in the universe, And everything in the universe has as much right to be here as anything else does. Maybe you've heard that before. Sounds kind of good, doesn't it? Certainly sounds inclusive enough. They might even say that because all life is sacred, there is no right to take innocent life from anything else. Human beings are just part of this vast system, and they're not in charge of the system. They aren't the masters of the system. They're just part of the system. Some Native Americans put it this way. They say that the earth doesn't belong to us, that we belong to the earth. So we're just kind of passing through, and we're not really the main show on the earth. But as we've already seen, everything can't be sacred, or nothing is sacred. If every day is sacred, then no day is sacred. For something to be sacred, by definition, it must be special. It must be different. It must be set apart from what is not sacred. But though such a person may say that they believe that all life is sacred, I suggest that they don't really practice this belief consistently. For example, such a person probably eats chicken and beef and fish. But in order to eat these things, they must die, of course, which means that somebody must kill them. Very few people eat live chickens or live cows or live fish, though sushi may be close to live fish. So you point this out to them, and they respond, thinking that they're very consistent here. Well, I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat animals. So as far as they're concerned, it's covered. So you say, well, did you ever swat a mosquito? Or did you ever swat a fly that was about to land on your tofu? Did you ever get a flu shot? Have you ever taken an antibiotic? Have you ever used bleach? Have you ever used hand sanitizer? Because if you have, then you are responsible for the wanton death of millions of living things. Things that have just as much right to be here as you do, by the way. Now, this sounds silly. It should. But it shows the lame logic when someone attempts to claim that all life is sacred, because all life is not sacred. All life is not sacred, at least in any meaningful sense of that term. And then when we move to a larger scale, it gets even worse. The prevailing scientific opinion is that human beings are the arbitrary result of random combinations of events with no divine purpose and no divine design whatsoever. Or put another way, human life is accidental, unplanned, without purpose, and has no supernatural input or intent whatsoever. To claim that anything other than natural processes on the evolutionary road to life is to set oneself, if they're in the scientific community, to be laughed out of the scientific community. So I would ask such a person, so do you believe that human life is sacred? What answer could they give? If they answer yes, on what basis do they say yes? In what possible sense could human beings be sacred when we are here only as a result of a random process with no ultimate purpose and no ultimate meaning? But let's just play along. Why might they say that human life is sacred? Well, they might say that human life is sacred because we are more intelligent than other life forms. And of course, we are usually more intelligent than other life forms. And intelligence is a good and commendable quality, to be sure. But does intelligence give us sanctity? Is that why we're sacred? Because we're intelligent? And if intelligence gives us sanctity, then does that mean that the more intelligent are more sacred than the less intelligent? And what about the other qualities that humans possess? Maybe tall people are more sacred than short people. Or how about light-skinned people? That's been tried. Or how about dark-skinned people? That's been tried too. Or let's say people who were stronger or faster. Or maybe people who have more money. Or maybe people who have more power. We save ourselves a lot of time when we simply recognize that if there is any sanctity of human life apart from what God's Word declares, or apart from what the Christian faith asserts, then guess who determines it? We do. We determine whether human life is sacred or not. The California condor doesn't determine if humans are sacred. We do. The spotted owl doesn't determine if human lives are sacred. We determine that. The blue whale, the porpoise, don't determine if human life is sacred. We determine that. Man is so self-centered, he doesn't even see how self-centered he actually is. So man sets out to save the planet, a noble task. Why does he do that? Because it's his planet, after all. Man sets out to save certain species of life because they're more valuable than other species of life. Who determines that? Man does. We determine what's valuable and what's not in terms of the life scale. If the goal of evolutionary development is to weed out the weak who can't survive, then why are we working against the system by helping the weak? We're kind of defeating the whole purpose of life, aren't we, from that perspective? If the purpose of evolutionary development is to produce life forms that are superior to the ones they replace, then why are we bottlenecking the system? And if natural evolution of our planet requires it to go through cycles of heating up and cooling down so that it can effectively function, then we should be welcoming climate change, because it ensures that the planet is working perfectly, exactly the way it should. Now, if this sounds silly, it should too. But at least it's consistent with a non-biblical worldview. Man is so self-centered, he thinks that the entire universe revolves around him. Everything boils down to what we want for ourselves. And when Carl Sagan or Christopher Hitchens claimed that man was only a tiny speck in the dust of a vast universe, do we think that they believed that human beings were special in any way? That we were sacred in any way? Why would they think that? On what possible basis could they argue for the sanctity of human life with any degree of integrity? And I would suggest that they couldn't. But here's the good news. We can. We can argue for the sanctity of human life on the basis of the only reliable source for doing so. And that source is God's written revelation to us in the Bible. You see, once you abandon the Bible's case for the sanctity of human life, there's nothing left but misguided speculation or man-centered arrogance. The Bible gives the definitive case for the sanctity of human life, and it's a case that explains everything else. Now, it's a case that can be rejected, and the vast majority reject it, but it can't be dismissed. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 24, and see the case for the sanctity of human life. Verse 24 of Genesis 1. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. So God is the creator of life, all life. So life is not random. Life is not accidental. Life is not serendipitous. Life is part of the plan of God, and it fulfills His purposes. Verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. So for His own reasons, God created a unique form of life in His own image. And though this is a deeply profound truth that has occupied the best minds for thousands of years, it means, in its essential meaning, that God has endowed human beings with certain qualities that reflect His own. And this is what gives every human being their intrinsic worth. It's not something that we have because we've earned it or we've acquired it. It's not our intelligence or our wealth or our creativity or our industry. We have this inherently because God bestowed it upon us. Regardless of talent, size, wealth, giftedness, social status, genealogy, age, race, intelligence, achievement, or beauty, human life is sacred because human life is created in the image of God. That's where we got it. Now, we get a tiny glimpse of this idea when we consider our own children. Now, our own children are special to us for many reasons, but one of the reasons is that they are made in our image. In fact, some of our children even look like us, to our great pride and to their utter disappointment. But human life is sacred because God ordained it, and He declared it to be so. This is something God chose to do without consulting any human beings. Makes no difference whether we think it's a good idea or whether we agree with it or not. Doesn't matter if we think it's wrong or unfair. It's the way it is. It's just the way it is, and it's the way it was intended to be. All we can do is accept it or reject it. There's another truth in verse 28 of Genesis 1. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Again, for His own reasons, God gave human beings sovereign authority over the earth. Now, sometimes we may wonder if that was such a good idea when we see how much of a mess of things we've made. But be that as it may, God delegated a level of sovereignty to the human beings created in His image. It's authority that's delegated, and it's authority that's limited. It's not absolute. It's defined. And it has clear limits. And we neglect those limits to our detriment and to our loss and even to our peril. There's so much more we could say, but I want to draw it to a close and look at what this means on a practical level. First, it means that we must grapple with whether or not we believe that human life is sacred. It's a very basic question. But we need to wrestle with it and decide one way or the other. Do we believe that human life is sacred? We can either embrace the truth of the biblical record, or we can embrace the lame attempt of society to justify itself in what it does. Second, never forget that nearly everything that human beings do They do for some kind of self-serving or self-justifying reason. Whenever you see someone doing something that contradicts the sanctity of human life, whether it's murder, genocide, suicide, abortion, euthanasia, whatever it happens to be assured that they're doing it for some reason that benefits them. It always comes down to that. They'll always have some self-justifying reason for doing it. They always do. Third, as you have opportunity, affirm that human life is sacred. In spite of all of our faults and all of our weaknesses and our sins and our failures and our delusions, we are still made in the image of God. And that gives every one of us sanctity that can never be taken away. It's interesting that there's a line that you're familiar with in the Declaration of Independence, the American Declaration of Independence, that hits this nail right on the head. The founders got this perfectly right. And here's what it says. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These so-called rights were not earned by us. Nobody earned them. They were given to us. They were endowed to us by our Creator. And these include the rights to life, that's as basic as it gets, liberty, freedom, and the freedom to pursue happiness. You don't work for these things. You don't earn them by effort. They're not a reward that you get for doing something. They're a gift to us from God. And they're to be protected. And they're to be preserved. In fact, that's the highest calling of human government, to protect and to preserve the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Fourth, treat every human being with dignity and respect. The weak and the strong, the poor and the rich, the elderly and the young, people who can help you and people that can't, people that can return the favor and people that can't return it, from the unborn to the dying. That huge span from the unborn to the dying. And fifth, do what you can to protect and defend the sanctity of human life as long as you don't violate other higher principles while doing it. And even though all life is God-given and all life has value, don't confuse the value of human life with the sanctity of human life. Human life is far more than valuable. Human life is sacred. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have given us sanctity, that you have declared human life to be sacred. It's special, it's different, it's unique, because we have been made in your image. And our sacredness, we don't have to work for or earn. It's not a reward for our intelligence or our abilities, for our industry, for our creativity, for our strength, for our wealth, for our achievements, or any of these things. This is something that you have given us by virtue of who you are, not who we are. You have declared us sacred because we have been made in your image. Because you are holy, because you are sacred, and you have made us in some ways like that. Qualities that reflect who you are. You have declared us to be people with sanctity. We thank you for that. We thank you it's nothing that we have to earn, but it's bestowed upon us by virtue of the fact that we are human. And we pray that you'd give us not only an understanding of this reality, but even a way to articulate it in a world that is rapidly rejecting it. And in a world that is attempting to come up with some justification for what it does, and it has no solid basis because it has rejected, by and large, the revealed truth of your word. It's in your word that we get sanctity of human life. And once we leave what you have revealed, anything goes. And practically anything has gone. And it's so regrettable. And so as your people, we pray that you'd help us not only to understand why human life is sacred, but to do what we can to ensure that other people recognize this fundamental truth of reality and life. That you are the author of life, that you are the creator of all life. But that doesn't mean that all life is sacred. But it does mean that human life is sacred because we've been made in your image. So help us to understand, help us to accept it and embrace it, and help us to be defenders of it, that you might be glorified and praised through it, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.